Welcome to Combat Gauge, Wargamer Online's official Age of Sigmar podcast. With me on today's podcast, I am pleased to be joined by the entire WGO team. We have the Bin, the Wannabe, and the Rising joining myself, the Beard. But to go by their real names, Luke, good to have you on board tonight.
Yeah, it's good to be on.
Jack, how you doing, mate?
I'm good, thanks.
And Liam, are you out there?
I'm here and ready and waiting.
Excellent. Let's get into this. So, big news this week from Mr. Ben Curry himself. Not only did he announce the Age of Sigmar Masters for 2020, and it's taking place on the 11th and 12th of July. I got tricked there by the American date format on his posting. But he also announced that the event will be covered by not ourselves, basically. The WGO team.
For the streaming,
yes. Exciting news.
Definitely.
Not worrying at all that we've got a hell of a lot of work to do between now and the event. No, but we're really excited and we're really honoured to be part of the Masters, actually. I'm really excited. I'm confident in the new Battle Report format we launched this week is capable of being run live as well as pre-recorded. So I'm absolutely confident in the technology that we've developed, the way we've used the combination of hardware and software, that I think we're going to be giving some fantastic coverage. But let's get back to that later, because what we really want to talk about is the Masters event itself. So let's get some of the details out of the way, really. So as I mentioned, it's the 11th and 12th of July, very close to my birthday. So I'm hoping I'll get cake while I'm there, but we'll see. It's going to be hosted...
Is that your 60th?
Yes, yeah. My 60th day. My 60th dog year.
60th dog. It's not even a beard, it's just part of your snout, isn't it?
So,
you're a Yogi Bear.
This is definitely going to be one of those shows. It's hosted at the Grange Banqueting Suite in Derby. And in Ben's own video where he announced this event, he talked about basically it's an absolutely beautiful event. I think one of this the event has been there previously, hasn't it? I don't know whether Facehammer was hosted there or not, but apparently it's been used before and it's used quite often for weddings, etc. So it's just this beautiful banquet hall and suites. So I'm looking forward to actually seeing the place.
It's been used for the Masters before.
Oh, it's been used for the Masters before as well. Okay, I wouldn't know. You know, I don't achieve those lofty heights.
I don't think any of us, apart from Luke, have. It's just a figment and fairy tale land for us.
Says the wannabe.
yeah.
It's a 2-day event, 5 games. That's good. You know, Luke. You know, this seems to be the format now. Is pretty much everything falling into the 5-game slot rather than 6?
Majority of the tournaments are, because the Masters did used to be a six round, just to make sure you got the Master.
Right. Okay.
Back in the day, but yeah, it just seems obviously people want to get home, don't they, on the Sunday, and you can kind of with the scoring systems now get a certified winner for the second day.
Sure. So. And there's an not only is the Masters Knockout, which is a new format which we'll come to shortly, but there's also a singles event running alongside the Masters. That's correct, isn't it? Obviously tickets go on sale anyway, and this is interesting. They're opening it to the top 40 of the rankings first, and anybody in the top 40 rankings can buy a maximum of 2 tickets per player. Which enables you kind of, you know, I think the interesting thing Ben was saying is that enables those people who've kind of reached the top 40 slots to be able to You know, bring a friend along and make a weekend of it, basically. So it's not just going along on your own. You can kind of, you know, make it more of a social event. Because I've got a feeling the Masters is quite a social do, isn't it?
It's just, obviously, everyone meets up. They pretty much know each other because they see each other at the events that they've been competing.
True.
But sometimes the other guys that they compete with don't necessarily make it into the Masters, so they feel they just have to travel on their own. But this method is a lot better, so you can still take your friend that might not have qualified, and one of them's playing in the singles, but he's still at the same venue.
Yeah, I get that. That's cool. So let's get into the format. Oh, by the way, I should mention the price. It's only £60 a ticket, and of course, a week after the tickets have gone for sale, they do go for general sale for the singles event. So, you know, if you're not in the top 40 slot, don't worry. There might be some seats available at the end of that, at the end of the first week. Let's see. But the format, the top 15 entrants plus the current master will play in the Masters event while the remainder of the field go into the singles event. And that's what I really like about this. I mean, we'll talk a little bit about that. But the current master is Mr. Bradshaw, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't know who he is. Yeah, he must have come out of nowhere.
I think he picked a lot up from me when we did the doubles tournament together this year.
Yeah, he enjoyed coming ninth, didn't he? And watching me get all the medals.
Didn't you win by doing the opposite?
Yeah, basically. Yeah, we
I'm just a nice guy.
We were nice people, and we won all our games and got punished for it. That's the way I see it.
The curse of being good at the game.
Oh, it's live to win is the opposite.
Okay, let's get into that format, because I think it's really interesting that we've got this Masters knockout format. Do you want to talk through that a little bit, Luke?
Yeah, so the way that Ben's got around this, I don't think this has ever been done before. It's like a knockout stage, a bit like you get in the Champions League, you get the first round of players in the Champions League, or teams, they get knocked down to the Europa League. So it's kind of bringing that format in. Whereas it's gone a bit further with this one. Whereas the Masters, as they lose, the losing Masters then get put into the singles event. So, say a master wins his first three games in the Masters, he's got three automatic buys for the singles, and he only has two more games to play in the singles event, knowing he's on maximum points. Mm. So, I like that a lot.
And when we were talking about this, I was saying, actually, that's kind of cool, because if you get through to game four and then got knocked out, you're walking into the tournament with maximum scores for four games. But it only actually applies, the knockout only applies at day one. So the winners progress and the losers on day one enter the singles event with a full bye for rounds played in the Masters, max tournaments points and max kill points. So you're actually walking on day two as a master, you're going into the singles tournament with three wins under the belt at maximum points achieved. So you still need to work hard on those last two games as well. It's not, you know, it's not pushing you as far up as I first thought, actually.
Yeah, you know, it's putting you in a very, very good position. You know, but you're probably playing another master.
Yeah.
Anyway, then game five, you might be. So the Masters probably are just going to be playing each other all the way through. Even if it's not the Masters, they'll be playing each other in the singles, I think, because they'll be on maximum. It's very, with this scoring system, the guys that are just entering in the singles event from the beginning, it's very hard to get a 20-0. It's very similar to Facehammer that I attended last year, where to get a 20-0 is extremely hard, especially when you start playing similar skill level or lists that are probably stronger than your list.
Yeah.
We'll go through that scoring system in a minute after we've finished the format.
Sure. And just, you know, because a lot of the WGO audience, you know, there's a lot of hobbyists out there. They're not serious tournament players. One thing we haven't covered is, how do you even get to the Masters? So do you want to just briefly cover that, Luke? Because we mentioned it, of course. We said it was the, you know, the top 17 players plus the master, you know, go through, or top 15 entrants plus the current master go through to through it. But top 15 of what, and the master of what? Just give us a brief background.
Yeah, so about, I think it was about 2014, Ben Curry started doing the a thing called the Bad Dice Rankings. And it's basically, it was always a full year season where players could attend events, and wherever position they come, give them a certain amount of points.
Yeah.
And then it's capped at four events, and that it's like the best average of those four events. And so whoever has the highest scores over four events gets you into the top 16 players. And right, okay. That's been running since 2014.
And if we look at those rankings now, for those people who are catching up with this on YouTube as opposed to listening to the podcast, I'm just pulling up the top 16 positions now. We've got Dan Bradshaw at 399.48, James Tyndale, Andy Hughes, Jack Armstrong, Tom Maudsley, Darren Watson, Tony Moore, Brian Carmichael, Chris Myhill, Martin Moran, Rick Myhill, Laurie HW, Leo Routerman, and Richie McAlley, JP Stevens, Richard Arnold. So all of those wonderful gamers sitting in the top 16 ranked. I'm confused, Luke. Where are you? Where can I find you?
I should be number one, but my Throne of Skulls never got entered into the rankings. So,
so let's talk about that. How do you get 400 points? How do you get 399.48? How does that work?
So if I click on to Dan Bradshaw, he's got three events which he's got maximum points. So he's won those events. Right. He won Brotherhood, he won Blood Type, and he won Sheffield Slaughter. And then Bobo is where he's got 99.48, because that's where he comes second.
Ah, perfect. So that's what, and your ranking is based on your last or your highest four scores, yeah, within that period. Cool. Okay, appreciate a lot of people understand that, but I wanted to do a little segue in case anybody's thinking, how does this even come about? Because like I say, a lot of the WGO audience aren't necessarily hardcore tournament players as well. There's a lot of hobbyists that come along to our channel. Awesome, thanks for that. Okay, in terms of the rules then and the point scoring, do we want to talk through that? I have mentioned, of course, maybe it's a good point. It says coverage, the event will be covered. Or the event coverage will be provided by Wargamer Online on YouTube and Twitch. I think the exciting thing is we're not only doing it on YouTube and Twitch, but we will also be streaming it live to an area for the rest of the singles tournament to be able to watch the final Masters game. Is that right, on day two?
Yeah, just for everybody there, everybody to watch, even the Masters that obviously didn't quite make the cut, the final. It's just watching to see who is the real master of the event.
And let's talk about our plans for the coverage. It's going to be myself and you, Luke.
Yeah,
doing the commentary, and of course you'll be bringing your Age of Sigmar fountain of knowledge and competitive understanding to the table, which is fantastic. I'm looking forward to you doing a deep dive analysis into everything that's happening on the top table. Liam,
yeah,
you are going to be master editor and producer of the day. So you're going to be the man behind the technology, which is fantastic. Your training started today, which was good.
Mm-hmm. Scary training.
Scary training, but it's gone really well, actually. You worked really hard. And Jack, of course, you are going to be our roving reporter. So yes. The plan is for you to go around, because obviously we'll be covering the top table. We're not going to do multiple tables. We're going to focus on the top table at the Masters. But your job will be to go around the rest of the tables, and when they're willing to talk to us, you know, ask them how their game is going, get some feedback, pick up on some key events from the game. And if they're not willing because, hey, they're at the Masters and they might want to concentrate on the game, your job is to instantly know every army and weigh up based on just looking from the edge of the table how that game is going, and bring that back to us on a regular basis to keep us updated.
Pretend like I understand what's going on.
And you'll be the main feedback on the singles event, because obviously we'll be streaming mostly the master tables.
Yeah.
And it'd be good to get some knowledge on what's going off in the singles.
So, Jack, I wouldn't expect to be sitting down much at all. You need to be running around like crazy that day. So we need to start a Rocky-style training regime. Lots of running up and down steps.
Treadmill and a microphone.
Especially day two when we don't get a break whatsoever, even no lunch.
We are definitely going to need a montage. Some kind of hobby montage. It's going to be amazing, that.
Me running on a treadmill, Liam hammering away on a keyboard trying to get cameras to work.
And Luke just and surrounded Luke by
Luke there with
tones.
His feet up pretending to know what's going on.
He's just, work faster, you two, with the whip.
So we're really
all the glory.
And of course, leading up to all of this, we are stress testing our equipment. I've already... working with the boffins behind the scenes at WGO. We've been working on some rather special stuff as well, so we're really hoping it's going to be something special to see, which is fantastic. I'm really excited by it. Okay, let's get into the rules though, because this is the important point. We have a 2000 points match play Warhammer Age of Sigmar Malign Sorcery rules for spells, terrain and artifacts will not be in use. Comments, people. Come on. I think we're seeing this a lot, but...
I love it.
Yeah.
Just the idea of using your own artifacts. No other relic ones or round ones that everybody else sees, like the Amber Brooch. It forces you to use those awful artifacts you would never use. But
yeah,
you just love it.
I'm kind of 50-50 on it, because you're right. You know, if you are taking a top-tier army, you know, OBR, Zeech... any of these kind of, you know, armies you expect to be at the top, then yeah, it doesn't matter, because you're not going to be taking artifacts from Malign Sorcery, right? Because the book is just such a powerful book, you don't really need to take it. But for like the armies that maybe aren't up to scratch, they kind of almost rely on these artifacts, yeah, you know, to make a competitive list, you know, like Beastmen rely on the Aether Quartz Brooch for like all their summoning points, all their attacks. But, you know, at the Masters, are you realistically going to be seeing a Beastman army? Probably not.
Well, there you are, Jack. You hit the nail on the head, really. This is the Masters, and it's a singles event, very closely tied to the Masters, and at least open to the top 40 ranks before we even get started. So, I mean, Luke, have you got a final word on any of that at all?
I think what Jack's saying is true to an extent, but I think because it's not until the end of June, most of the armies will have new books, so it's more irrelevant that actually is going to matter. I think it's really good not having any artifacts and Malign Sorcery. I played a tournament recently that didn't use them in Sheffield Slaughter, and it was good to see something different, because it's just been a mainstream thing for such a long time. It allows people to have kind of different view and write different lists.
You're so modest, because you said I just played at a tournament called Sheffield Slaughter, as opposed to I just won a tournament called Sheffield Slaughter. But I like your modesty, Luke. I always admire that in you.
Yeah. Well, every tournament I attend, I just win, so it's pointless saying that I've won it, isn't it?
Just destroying my modesty comment, yeah? 20, okay, 20-nil system. Luke, talk us through the 20-nil system and how this works with this event.
So this 20-nil system, you get 14 points for a major win. Uses a maximum of 4 points for getting 2 of your hidden agendas and then denying 2 of theirs.
Okay.
You also get 2 points for getting 1,000 more than 1,000 victory points and denying them 1,000 victory points. Okay. So it's extremely hard to get 20-nil. You'd have to almost table your opponent in a few turns, I think.
Yeah.
Because the thing is,
you know, actively earning your own hidden agendas is, you know, generally okay. But being able to not deny your opponent and deny them the kill points seems like a big ask, yeah?
Yeah, because we did this at Facehammer with the hidden agendas and the kill points and stuff. It's very similar to that. I'd like to see in the rules pack, maybe... I don't know what Ben's going to do, but maybe try and get rid of the really easy hidden agendas, just to make it that bit harder. Get rid of like the old, like nine, make a 9-inch charge, or just run a character off the board or something. So just those ones that are really extremely easy to do. It'd be interesting to see whether he, if he like says you can only select from these certain ones.
Well, you know, some of the tournaments recently have been designing their own hidden agendas, but I'm not sure whether that applies to this event. And the pack's not out yet, so we won't quite know, will we? But I've got a feeling it's probably going to be from the standard GW hidden agendas, yeah? But the question is like you say, whether he just removes some of the easier ones, the more you
know. Yeah, but even like there's a team event coming up in April, and that's a GW event, and they're doing it with their hidden agendas, but they're saying pick three, and your opponent can take one of them away.
Right.
So that makes it quite interesting.
That's interesting. Oh, okay. I quite like
that.
But
it'd be good to see what the pack brings and what lists will come out. I mean, if we look at the rankings, it gives you the icon of what each player's got. Usually, if you're in the top 16, they normally have the icon for the army if they constantly use that army.
Right.
So say like for me, for instance, I'd have the Idenef Deakin icon.
Yeah.
And then, but.
So if I was to select on, I need to go back to the rankings because I'm just on Dan Bradshaw's breakdown. But yes, we can see the icon. So for instance, Legion of Sacrament is in there for Andy Hughes. Dan Bradshaw is showing up as the Changeling. Most different armies played. Oh, he's played the most different armies. Fickle One is Mr. Bradshaw. And Best in Race, Darren Watson there for Chaos. So I see what you mean. You've got an idea, yeah. Okay.
But that's why the Masters, they normally try to like come up with something different. Whereas I've found that maybe if you just stick to your experience, that usually does you better. But a lot of players in the Masters throughout the years just try to bring something different, you know, to catch the others off guard. And I don't necessarily think that is the best way to go, but I mean, obviously it's worked out for some of them.
Yeah, so, I mean, is that about shifting with the meta, or is that trying to almost counter meta with something that's counterintuitive and players just haven't seen it before? Or is it a combination of all of those things?
Yeah, and no, I think a lot of the Masters, because they know each other very well, well, majority of them do, they were like, well, I think they're going to take this, or I'll take this. So they'll go almost on player as well, like trying to get an overview of the players and think, well, I think this list could tackle whatever they bring. It makes it like really the list building is a lot a bigger part, I feel, for the Masters than it would be for a singles event.
Okay, understood. Right, so next up we have, these are 3-hour rounds, a little bit longer than I've experienced at the Warhammer World. They're normally 2-hour 45, 15 minutes extra. Do you think that's a good thing?
Especially for the Masters, because there's a lot more to think about in your games, because you're playing players that should be similar skill to you. So it's, yeah, you need that. I think you do need that bit of extra time just to get you through and get the result without a judge having to make the decision.
Yeah, because that would be quite painful, isn't it? At that level where the judge is coming in and scoring the game out. Also, all terrain provided. Now, having only ever done tournaments at Warhammer World, I'm quite used to having tables and terrain, albeit the plastic tables. Is this becoming more common now to see terrain provided at events, or is that a boon for you, Luke?
It is getting more common. I think. I mean, Sheffield, you had to bring your own terrain. Facehammer is out of Element Games, so you didn't have to bring your own terrain. So it's been about 70% in favour of tournaments got their own terrain now. Because a lot of the ones I've been to anyway, they've got quite large venues, so they have their own terrain and boards and battle mats and everything provided.
Right. Okay. So, yeah. Because you do have to think about the logistics of all of that. You know, it's tables times 8 pieces of terrain, or 6 to 8 pieces of terrain, and just storage alone, never mind about construction, building, painting, etc., is quite a big deal for anybody organising an event. So it's good to see that, though. It's less pressure on the players to show up with terrain as well, I suppose. And it also makes it probably the tables a little bit more predictable, yeah? You've not got some strange pieces of terrain.
And just a shout out, Ben Curry, really. He does provide terrain for other tournaments as well. I know he does it for South Coast GT, so if these other events ever do require anything, he's openly said he's happy to lend it out at a cost, and which is, I think, is extremely helpful for the other events that maybe, like you said, it's a very hard thing to do and storing it and everything.
Yeah. And then let's just quickly run through the timetable, because this has an impact on us. Friday evening is set up at venue. There's a Masters dinner and first round draw, and then they have a table booked at the local restaurant for the traditional Masters players get together, which is all really nice. I dare say none of that impacts us, because we'll be stuck at the venue making sure all the equipment works and testing it 10 times over.
Yeah.
Day one, the Masters go through a round of 16 and a round of quarterfinals and then into the semi-finals. So essentially the first three games. Singles, of course, doing rounds 1 to 3. Saturday evening, the venue remains open. There's a cheap bar. Food could be ordered. They've got excellent outdoor patio drinking area. I think this is where the lovely locale comes in to play. We're definitely partying that night, but guys, we're on duty the next morning, so don't party too hard.
It's a big day two, definitely.
No promises.
I'm a uni student. I can go all night and I'll be up and going.
That is just my life. Just a little bit of vodka in the morning.
Ben did say in his video that the Masters, the finals, doesn't start till 11, so I'm hoping that's all we're covering.
so we can go in about 2 minutes.
We can just rock up at 10 to 11.
Yeah, 10 to 11. Yeah. Power the equipment up and off we go, yeah? Everything's fine.
Yeah. We'll do whatever's required.
So it is important to mention, on day two, the only thing happening from the Masters perspective, of course, is the final. So you are into the finals on day two, and I think that's where we're thinking this is 11, sort of pushing into the lunchtime for the Masters game. So if it starts at 11, it's running through till 2 p.m. So I think that's the idea, is for the singles players between round 4 and 5, they can break and watch the Masters game, or at least, you know, catch up on the Masters game and see how it's going live on screen. So which is super exciting. Strangely enough, in my working life, I've done events similar to this, but not for wargaming. So whilst we've got plenty of experience in, you know, filming the battle reports and all the rest, this will be our first event. And I'm really excited, to be honest. I'm very excited. So excited, I've managed to convince my better half to come along for the weekend. So Mrs. Beard is coming along. And
Mrs. Din as well is going to come and help us day two.
Which is good. You know what's going to happen, though, don't you? Those two are just going to go on a riot on day two.
And with their goblets of wine.
I have had to tell Sarah that she is not allowed on stage during the presentation. Because it's the kind of thing she would just gate crash.
Mere words aren't going to stop her. She'll be up there.
It's good stuff.
You gotta think, she's in a room full of a bunch of nerds for a long time. It won't be long before the gin and tonics just start flowing.
Start yarling like a Viking on stage.
Oh dear me, it's gone down that road. Okay, let's just remind everybody then. So you can check out more information on TGA community. You know, you'll find the information there, or on the Bad Dice podcast. So for those of you, Ben Curry at Bad Dice podcast, Bad Dice _ podcast. Do check, you know, Ben will of course keep everybody posted. I've noticed that recently as well. He's also posted up Blood and Glory, which I think is taking place in Nottingham, and that's on I think that's the 9th, 10th and 11th of October. You know, he's a busy chap, Ben Curry, isn't he? We're very honoured to be invited by him to do this as well. I'm really pleased, really looking forward to doing it. I can't imagine a better weekend than spending it with you three guys under high pressure, running around, but having a lot of fun, all hobby-based. It's got to be good. On top of that as well, we're going to be in our brand new T-shirts and hoodies. The merchandise raise for Wargamer Online has just launched, so if you check us out on YouTube as well and go to the shop there, and you want to come dressed like us, then it's all available there, including a paint pot as well. So why not get yourself a brand new paint pot with our logo on? There you go. That's the only advertising we're doing for tonight. Okay, guys, I think the only thing left for me to do is to thank you all for coming along and joining me on episode 2. It was great to get everybody together. It's not always easy to. We're scattered up and down the country, but I do appreciate you all giving me your time. I hope you enjoyed the show, and we will catch you all at episode 3. Thanks, everyone.
Bye.
Thanks, guys.
See ya.
See you later.
Thank you for tuning into Combat Gauge, the official Wargamer Online podcast. If you want to check out more of our content, you can find us on YouTube/WargamerOnline or Twitter and Instagram @WargamerOnline. Alternatively, you can leave us a voice message at anchor.fm/WargamerOnline. Don't forget to check out our premium content on our dedicated wargaming website, www.wargameronline.com.